In the dystopian world of Fracture Me, we experience the apocalyptic landscape through Adam Kensize, a soldier torn between love and duty. The novella opens with his little brother James waking him with urgent news. Warner, their most dangerous enemy and son of the Supreme Commander, has escaped. This crisis is momentarily overshadowed when James breaks down crying, revealing his deepest fear, that Adam might die in the upcoming battle. The raw emotion in his 10-year-old eyes cuts straight to Adam's heart, especially when James declares he wants to fight alongside him. This moment crystallizes everything Adam fights for. In a world where family units have been systematically destroyed by the reestablishment, their bond represents something increasingly rare. Adam has raised James since he was a toddler, becoming both brother and father figure. "It's you first," he tells James, kneeling to meet his eyes. "It's always you first and everyone else second." These aren't empty words, they're his foundation. While others fight for grand ideals like freedom and justice, Adam's motivation is more intimate, creating a world where James can grow up without fear. What would you fight for if the world collapsed tomorrow? For many of us, it's not abstract principles, but the faces of those we love that would drive us forward through impossible circumstances. Breakfast with Juliet reveals complications for Adam. Tension hangs between them. He wants a future together, but fears her lethal touch. She appears traumatized after nearly killing Kenji, counting rice grains and repeating words as coping mechanisms. When Adam mentions Warner's escape, Juliet's strange reaction, dropping her spoon, looking oddly affected, suggests something Adam doesn't know about. Has something happened between them? Their relationship exists in limbo between passionate connection and mortal danger. In a world of weapons and warfare, the most dangerous thing might be the gentle caress of the woman he loves. Later, Juliet grabs his shirt with desperate intensity, begging him to be careful. Something about her seems different, unspoken. He once thought he could read her, but her pages now seem written in a language he no longer fully understands. This is their love, never simple, never safe. Every tender moment shadowed by possible loss. Rain pours as they head into battle. Their small team, Adam, injured Kenji, and mentally distant Juliet, moves under Kenji's invisibility toward the chaos. The reality is stark. Soldiers dragging civilians from homes for execution. This isn't warfare. It's systematic extermination. Adam's military training kicks in as they engage. 6 soldiers have gathered 30 civilians. Adam takes out the first soldier. Kenji handles 3 while invisible, and Juliet surprisingly shoots the last one. As they direct civilians to shelter, the destruction intensifies, burning buildings, bodies, scattered belongings. Approaching tanks and explosions light up the horizon. This isn't the controlled conflict they prepared for. It's wholesale slaughter. What concerns Adam most is how quickly Juliet shifts from fearful to cold and focused. She has no combat experience, yet Castle and Kenji have convinced her she's invincible because of her lethal touch, without teaching her the countless ways soldiers can die before getting close enough to use such power. The battlefield is a nightmare of bodies and blood. Enemy soldiers attack immediately, with Adam and the injured Kenji fighting until they witness Juliet's unconscious body being loaded into a tank that drives away. Their rescue mission is interrupted when they encounter Castle and other resistance members bearing devastating news. Soldiers plan to bomb Omega Point, their home base where James and others remain, believing themselves safe. The realization hits Adam like a physical blow. Despite Kenji's concern about abandoning Juliet, Adam insists they must save everyone at Omega Point first. Warner won't kill Juliet, but James and the others face certain death. As they commandeer a tank to race back, Adam fixates on one thought. He promised to always put James first, and now that promise might be broken in the most terrible way. Eight of them raced toward Omega Point in a tank, Adam gripped by unprecedented fear. When planes roar overhead, the bombing begins. He vomits from terror, imagining James dying alone, wondering where his brother was. The tank eventually stops, nowhere left to go. The ensuing silence feels more devastating than any explosion. Omega Point, their sanctuary, is gone, presumably with everyone inside. Aaliyah's scream breaks the silence. Adam falls to his knees before someone unexpected, James, sobbing. He apologizes for disobeying, explaining he snuck out to join the fight because he didn't want to be a baby. Adam embraces him, offering hollow reassurances. This moment contains profound relief alongside fury, pride, and overwhelming love. Had James stayed at Omega Point as ordered, he would be dead. His disobedience saved his life. The emotional whiplash is disorienting, plummeting from despair to soaring relief in seconds. This is their new reality, where children must be both obedient enough to follow life-saving instructions and disobedient enough to save themselves when those instructions fail. Back in the tank, reality hits hard. They have nowhere to go. Despite finding James, their loss is overwhelming. Omega Point is destroyed, friends presumed dead. No base, no supplies, no plan. Castle sits catatonic, unable to process the destruction of his life's work. Only Kenji maintains any sense of self-preservation, stepping up as leader when others cannot function. Despite injuries, he takes command while the rest struggle to think. Sleep becomes their only escape from witnessed horrors. Adam holds James close, a reminder of what little remains to protect. Morning arrives with an eerily peaceful sunrise. James wakes full of questions, his childlike resilience striking Adam. Children adapt quickly, finding normalcy in chaos. Kenji raises their urgent need for shelter and food. James suggests their old house, perfect since Warner won't look for them if he believes everyone from Omega Point is dead. With Castle still unresponsive, they head toward home. This is survival in their world, not grand victories, but small decisions keeping them alive one more day. Kenji returns hours later, ashen-faced, with devastating news. Juliet is dead. Chaos erupts. Adam freezes with grief while others console a self-blaming Kenji. Adam collapses against the wall, crushed by guilt. Juliet is dead because he chose James over her. What they don't know is that Juliet isn't actually dead. Warner saved her after his father shot her. She believes they're dead, just as they believe she is. This misunderstanding completely separates them. While they mourn her, she mourns them. Though they'd been growing apart, she'd hoped staying away would keep Adam safe. This is the final fracture in their world, not just the physical destruction of their base, but the emotional severing of connections based on false information. Through tears, Juliet forces herself to choose, give up or go on. She chooses to rise as thoughts of revenge take hold. And Adam, believing her dead, must make the same choice, to continue for James, for the resistance, for what they almost had.